You don't have to be that person who you walk into the room and everyone's like, oh my God, there she is. You can be the person who walks into the room and you're like, oh my God, there you are. Look at you. Oh, I see you, right? Like, you don't have to be noisy or big to be noticed.
This podcast is sponsored by AI Copywriter in a Box. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, and you can use the AI Copywriter for up to 4 different clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found The Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite. Hey, 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 welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Emily Reagan, a fellow freelance marketer. I have been doing this work since I said yes to my first press release. I think it was back in 2007 when some business owners were asking me for help. And I was like, oh, I can do this on the side while I'm in my 9-to-5. And it turned into this whole big business that I didn't see coming, that I never saw being the face of in the first place. And we're in the middle of this visibility series to help people like you who are behind the scenes doing the work, getting the results for your clients. But it's time to be positioned as the expert. It's time for people to recognize this and start inviting you into their communities to speak. And this is all going to pay off because this is how you get booked out and seen as an expert and get paid better. When I first started my freelance journey, it was all a complete accident and I didn't have the foresight that I can give you now on the podcast to just speed it up so it doesn't take you as long, so you don't spend years undervalued, underpaid, and slightly full of resentment, especially when you know you get stuff done in the client's business. When you're the one who grew the email list, you're the one who built the funnel, you're the one who planned out the launch, it's time to be recognized. And so today on the show, I have my friend Jen Liddy, who is a brand voice expert. She has been on the show before, interviewing me for that 200th episode, and I've been trying to get her on the show again. And I just thought it would be a good way to almost work backward within the visibility series. We started about like putting yourself out there and why, and if we can really drill down to how you're different, how you're unique, and how to speak, I think it'll all come together. And so the previous episode, we did talk to Meg Yelaney about your origin story and standing out. And then we're going to drill down even further into voice. Of course, this is also meta, and it can apply to the client work we do as marketers, but I really wanted the focus on us. I stayed behind the scenes way too long. I thought, oh, I don't have a voice. I don't have anything unique to say. And the more I got out there and got into different businesses, I've been in over 100 businesses. I stopped counting. I saw like, wow, I'm really good at this. I'm really smart. I'm really strategic. People really need me. They really need my help. And it was so empowering. And I think about those first couple of speaking gigs came from a very technical, tactical spot, like me, like, this is how you do this. This is how you find the data in Google Analytics. But it came from like something I knew how to do and went further from that. Some of my other first speaking gigs were about 5 ways I helped my creative clients make money. And people were like just eating up that content back then. It was like 2019. So, you know, revenue streams were still new, but still you could take that and run with that with your services and your work. So listen, you already have the skills. You already have proven your value to your clients. And now it's time to be the one they recommend without hesitation. It's time to be the name that everyone's talking about. You need this service. You need to talk to you. You need to talk to this unicorn. And the Digital Marketers Workgroup is where the smart, experienced marketing freelancers are gathering. You get seen for your true expertise, you get referred for top-tier jobs, and you stay sharp with strategy-level support that you can charge more for. The management and the strategy is what a typical VA can just not provide, that the top clients are looking for. So this isn't about being louder, it's being in the right rooms, showing up like a pro and being recognized for it, okay? So join the Digital Marketers Workgroup if you're doing this work. Even if you think, oh, I'm booked out right now, I want to be able to help you move forward and move on and be prepared to step into the stoplight. And we can't do it alone. We have to have a community that's also recommending us. So we're taking applications. We want the marketing project managers. If you plan to launch, if you're managing your clients' content, if you're managing social media, if you're the tech specialist behind the scenes connecting all the dots, if you're managing a YouTube, if you are going beyond just task doer, you need to be in the work group. The application is in the show notes. This is how you're going to apply everything you've been learning on the show. So your brand voice is what differentiates you. Your personality is always part of your marketing strategy. You don't have to sound like anyone else, like your coach or your past mentor, like your coach or your past self. You have to outgrow the version of you that started this business and step into that high authority expert that you want to be seen as. And you have to ask yourself, what do I think I need to sound like? And start speaking and talking like her. And messaging is never a one and done thing. It's always ongoing. I talk a lot about this with my own business, just the evolution. And you can see what I'm going through now, speaking to a higher pool of the marketers, the managers, the coordinators beyond the assistant role over here. Like those are the people, the cream is rising. We've been in business a few years. It's like, we're taking it. Now, I just got back from my first paid speaking gig on Amy Porterfield's stage. I'll tell you more about that in the next podcast, I promise. But I think it's really cool to go from me teaching something so tactical that I felt very safe doing to something more high level. And I'm like just so excited to share like the ins and outs of that talk because it really is like kind of coming full circle from me starting my business 5 years ago. Okay, so this visibility series has really good guests. If you haven't gone back, we have Rob Marsh talking about the authority framework. We have Lori Ann Marabito talking about speaking and how you have to leverage it in your business, even if you're a behind the scenes queen, even if you're the magic maker behind the curtain. We have Beth Nydick talking about how to monetize that podcast guest appearance. Megan Yelaney about the origin story and how you kick off those interviews and what you say about yourself, especially when you feel a little awkward. And then today, Jen Liddy, let me read her bio for you really quick. Jen Liddy recovered from teaching high school and college English and turned her nerdy word powers into marketing. And now she helps experts and service providers know what to say and how to say it so their audience can actually hear them. That is messaging, you guys. She worked with me on a client for Brand Voice. She studied with my friend, Justin Blackman, who's also been on the show. She is so good at drawing the best out of people. And she did a training inside the workgroup. If you're a member, go back. She teaches you kind of her content umbrella system. If you're struggling with like, how do I organize all my clients' stuff? She is like a really great way of doing that. She's one of the smartest marketers I know. And what's cool is her whole coastal grandmother vibe. Like she's just so relatable and she's not one of those like in your face bro marketers who you feel like you have to compete with them in a weird way. I don't know. It's just so relatable and real. It's so real. And she's been on so many other podcasts sharing her insights. So I encourage you to search her name and look her up. Like you're going to love her. Oh, and before you go, make sure you hit subscribe to this show so you don't miss out on another episode. We have one more episode coming out in this visibility series and I don't want you to miss it. All right, let's jump into the episode. So excited to have Jen Liddy back here on the podcast. You interviewed me during the 200th episode anniversary, and now you're my guest. You and I have been talking about this for a while. We're here to help our marketing freelancers, our service providers, pull the best out of them so they know how to sell more, so they know how to be in the spotlight more, talk about themselves, and really know what makes them different. And so tell everyone a little bit about you and how you got into this online world.
Yeah, such a long, windy story, so I'll zip it up. But I'm going to start with what I do, which is I am really good at pulling somebody's brilliance out of them. I find that we're not very good at seeing our own genius, and we're often way too close to it. And the things that we do, which I say are like breathing to us, other people are like, oh my God, how do you do that? My genius is pulling someone else's genius out of them, giving it back to them in a way that A, sounds like them, does not sound like their mentor or who they used to be or even who they are in their personal life, but like how they want to sound in their brand. But there's this other piece of like, you need to say the things that your audience needs to hear, right? So it's like, how does your genius sound like you? And also get your audience to lean in and be like, oh my God, I need what you have. So in like marketing terms, I'm a brand voice and messaging strategist, and I basically translate somebody's special sauce into the words that make your audience lean in.
And you didn't always do this.
No, it took me forever to get here. So back in the day, I was a high school English teacher, and then I was a college professor, and then I got really burned out from teaching, and I jumped into, and I literally say jumped because I mean that, the entrepreneurial space by opening up a brick and mortar fitness studio with two friends, having all of the like, who am I to do this? I don't have an MBA. I'm not a business person. I'm quote unquote just a teacher. And I learned, I always say I learned business at the bottom of a dumpster fire that was like constantly, oh my God, I need to learn this thing and I need to learn this thing. My role in the business was communications and like running things, communications and I can't think of the word, operations, communications and operations. Yeah. And over time, I just realized like, oh, that's the part I'm really good at is communicating, which makes sense because I was an English teacher. I know how to help people communicate. And operations, just because my brain thinks super linearly in step by step. I tend to attract people who think in magic and swirls and essence. And so when I get those people in my world, I can like pull out their brilliance and put it into a way that they can actually put it into the world without the swirls and the stardust and all of that. So I literally only work in this very tiny lane of marketing now, which is messaging and voice. I do the thing, I pull it out to you, I create what you need, I hand it back to you, and then I help you put it into play. And that's all I do. I'm not a copywriter, I'm not a coach, I'm not a mindset person. I call myself a consultant. I pull it out, I create it, I give it back to you.
Yeah. And let them go on and make the content, do the marketing stuff with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if I know this story, but what was that leap to your first paying client in this space?
Working at the fitness studio, I was constantly at the front desk and I would meet people all the time who are our clients, who are super creative women, again, those swirly thinkers, and they just really struggled to bring their business to life. So of course, standing at the front desk, I'd be shooting the shit with them and I'd be like, oh my God, I know exactly what you need to do. I've just done it in our own business. So once I left the fitness studio business, I just put my, like I hung out a shingle and said, hey, I'm an accountability coach. I'm a business development coach. And then I just kept sharpening into what I was really good at, which is now it was content for a long time. And that was specific enough for a while. But 2020, 21, 22, 23, by 2024, content was not specific enough. So now it's voice and messaging and that's it. And I just cut my teeth on that first group of people who I knew in real life. And then they would refer me to those people. And then I had to learn everything online marketing after that.
Okay. That's such a relatable story because a lot of us were the accidental freelancers or, you know, no one gave you permission to go do it. You just, you know, saw that you're good at it, had a talent and went in there. And then now I hired you in my CMO role to help my client pull out his messaging and his pillars to be able to help me sell for him. Right. And yes. So it's so fun to see how much you niched from, I think about the word content so freaking vague.
No, you know,
virtual
I was so
assistant, vague. Business operations, vague.
Yes. But it worked for a while, like it always does. And I think this is something we need to talk about that we iterate as the market iterates, because if I was just still calling myself a content creation specialist, it's like, what the fuck does that even mean? And yeah. I think that VA is one of those words that has become so like Band-Aid, right? Like it's just such a generalized word now. And people expect so much from a VA because it's just like, well, your VA should be able to do everything. Well, your content creation specialist should be able to do everything. And that's where I kept bumping up against like, I'm a content creation specialist, but I don't want to help you with Instagram. I'm not a social media person. So that's when I had to iterate and be like, oh, the market is changing and what people need is changing. So I need to change and sharpen more into what I want people to know I can help them with.
Yeah. And you see why I brought that up, because that's what we are really talking about today with the marketing service providers, the marketing assistants and specialists listening. That's the piece that's so hard to see in themselves, especially if that talent comes very natural and they don't figure out these pillars for themselves. And like you said, we can see it better with our clients. Sometimes it's more fun to do it with our clients. I want to share an interesting observation from social media marketing world. I just got back from that conference with Brenna. It was a lot of corporate marketers. And I would tell them in my pitch, oh, I train virtual assistants, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, what's that?
What's that?
Yeah. So in this whole corporate world.
Oh, they don't know.
They didn't even know.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, it was. Or it was completely synonymous with overseas help. I saw a little bit of that too. For the most part, they were like, huh? So it's just interesting who you're speaking to matters. And
it really does.
The evolution in the market in general, you know, what you're just talking about. And so that's my goal for this podcast, for this series we're doing, for people to be able to reflect back, figure out what makes them special. You said special sauce. I will say unicornness, you know, what is there to be, you know? And so where do we start with that? Like, let's start with what Brand Voice is. Let's just start at the beginning for somebody who is newer to this world.
So if you're in the marketing world, you know what messaging is. It is the words, the concepts, the ideas, the topics that you need to say that gets your audience to like get their ears to perk up and be like, oh, this is what I'm interested in, what my pain points are, what my desires are. And you're saying it in a way that I can relate to you. That's what like the blanket statement of messaging is. And a lot of people teach messaging. Messaging is the foundation of everything. If your messaging is a mess, then like nobody really knows what you do. That's why like back in the first part of this decade, when people were talking about like, oh, I get you unstuck or I help you transform, like that doesn't fly anymore. We need to be super specific with our messaging and say it in the way that makes the audience like get it.
Give us an example for maybe like a social media manager. What would like an example of that be?
Messaging. So if I were a social media manager, let's make you go viral on Instagram. And I'm here to help like get you followers on Instagram. That might be a message that a social media manager could use back in 2019, 2020 that people would have leaned into. But now people, they know that virality doesn't equal money. They know that followers don't equal the money. So the messaging had to change. So a social media manager might now say something like, you know, social media is a huge churn. It takes a lot of your time and the algorithm is always changing and you don't want to be an Instagram expert because you want more time and energy back. So as a social media manager, what I do is I figure out exactly what your particular goals are for your business, how your business runs, and I figure out what we need to put on Instagram that works with you and with Instagram to attract the right followers for you. That would be today's messaging. Does that land for you?
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And by the way, I have a stat in my talk that I'm giving next week that I think is like 20 hours a week. Most CEOs spend 20 hours a week doing marketing. And all the people who are like, I don't want to be on social, like that's so timely and so relevant right now. And yet it sucks up their time. So
yeah. So we always have to iterate our messaging with how the market is shifting and what our audience wants. So while sometimes we can be more generic now in 2025, that is just not flying anymore in terms of messaging. And so people get that. They're like, oh, okay, I probably need to re-interview people in my audience and like do some more target market. Like, okay, fine, I can update that. So that's like the big, broad piece of messaging. And what I want to talk about is this other tiny piece of messaging that people don't know about or haven't been taught about because it's a nuance that I think people need to hear right now. And that is brand voice, personality, and positioning. And I think it's something that your audience could really lean into for themselves, marketing themselves, but also for the people that they work with.
Yeah, because I see a lot of that general 2020 messaging you're talking about when I look at service provider websites and their pricing guides. I see it's almost like a faceless account. And so you could be anybody.
Almost like AI could have created it for you too.
Oh, imagine that. But you know what? Like there's no shame in that first draft. No. Like, you know, getting it done like is a huge feat. But then we get to that next part where your unique selling. position, right?
Exactly. Perfect. And so this is like the piece that will actually make your AI work better for you. So sure, you can upload your marketing and messaging pillars into ChatGPT or Claude and be like, these are the five things I talk about all the time. These are my pillars. That's fine. But brand voice, positioning, and personality are the layers that you bring in that make it more you. And it's so perfect for your audience because, you know, you talk about unicorns. I call it the you algorithm. It's the part of you that sets you apart. I think in the past, people have said, oh, the way to be seen or visible, the way to get noticed is to do more, to be everywhere, to feel like I have to shout, or to feel like I'm on stage being a 24/7 commercial for myself, which I call like jazz hands and spirit fingers. But there's many people who want to be service providers who they don't want to necessarily be in the spotlight of their marketing. So it's like, you don't actually have to do that. You don't have to perform is what I really want people to know. When I say that to people, they like, there seems to be like this collective, like, really? I don't have to perform like this relaxing. I don't have to perform. And so this is what brand voice, positioning, and personality helps us do that is woven into our messaging. So that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay. And that's news for us because that's why we are behind the scenes. We don't want the limelight. I mean, we know that we can do what we need to do, but we don't want that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let's continue that conversation because I think in the end, we want to show up authentically. We want to attract the clients that we're the best fit with. We want it to all be aligned and we want it to feel easy. I don't think anyone in my world wants to be fake.
No. And there's a couple of things that my people bump against. Number one is I don't want to sound fake. I hate performing. And when I look at some of these aspirational people who are killing it in the market, I know I can't sustain the way they are. Let me give you a great example. I had a client and she has worked with a lot of people who I would say are high energy, high visibility, cheerleadery, walk into a room and like light up the room energy, right? Now, this client is not that. And what I want people to know is it's okay. You don't have to be that person who you walk into the room and everyone's like, oh my God, there she is. You can be the person who walks into the room and you're like, oh my God, there you are. Look at you. Oh, I see you, right? Like you don't have to be noisy or big to be noticed. And so this client came to me and she had pointed out some names in the industry that she wanted to sound like. And that's the brand voice. How do you sound? How do people hear you when you're saying or writing or whatever you're doing with your content? And she's like, I really want to sound like them. I want to be more like them. And I said, I get why. The perception is they're absolutely killing it. They're so popular. People are quote unquote flocking to them. I said, but if you try, this is not your energy. This is not your style. This is not your approach. And it is not the normal register that your voice is in. If you think that you can be up here and try to get people excited and that you can sustain that, you're going to feel exhausted in about 2.5 minutes and your audience is going to feel the phony energy immediately. Because when they start working with you, guess what? You're not up here. You're not talking like this. You're talking like this. You have to match the brand voice with who you really are. So that's the very first thing I want to talk about is, do you, when you're putting your shit out into the world, try to emulate somebody who you either worked with before and has a business model that's quote unquote, like bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars? They're maybe doing tactics or approaches that, you know, you can't sustain. How do they sound? You know, what words do they use? How do they put the words together? What's the tones behind what they're saying? That has to be coming from the real you, that you can sustain it. And that when they become clients and they get on the call, they're not going to be like, this is a different person than who I was seeing online in her marketing. And there's no shame in that. And I think we have been taught we need to be like these super cheerleader or like super not us. Like we need to put on a suit that doesn't fit. And I had a client who said to me once after we did her brand voice session, she was like, oh, I totally see now why my website never fit me. Somebody else wrote it for her, but they didn't write it in her voice. It did what it needed to do in terms of messaging and what she did, but who she was, it did not represent her at all. So this piece of brand voice is super nuanced. And I want to ask everyone listening, like, who do you think you need to sound like? Is it your old coach or mentor? Is it somebody in the online space who's very famous? Is it your old self? The best example I have of this is when I was a teacher, I had to say things. First of all, I had to say it in three different ways so everybody in the room would get it at their differentiated levels. And the other thing I would have to do is I would have to meet people where they were. So my verbiage was only always kind of like hedging. I didn't come across as confident as I needed to come across. So when I did my own brand voice assessment, I realized like my brand voice was very underdoggy, very hedging, very like, if it feels good to you, if you have a piece of paper, get it out. If you have your notebook, like I, that's how I was as a teacher. As a marketer, I just sounded like I didn't ever really quite know what I was doing because I was saying everything too much in three different ways. And my voice sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't sound confident enough. I couldn't see that for myself. My mentor had to do that for me. So sometimes we're channeling an old version of ourselves. Sometimes, like I work with lawyers and they're always channeling their lawyer voice. So they talk in a very different way than how they would get to talk as a consultant or a coach. Sometimes we're channeling the old professional version of ourselves. So that's something that the very first thing you can ask yourself is, what does the real me sound like? And if you're somebody who's up here and super excited and this is your voice, like, that's awesome. Then just be that. That person doesn't need to button herself up more. And like me, I don't need to get more excited. I'm not an excitable person. Like I'm, you know, like this is how I sound all the time. So that is the very first thing with brand voice is diving into what words do I use? What tones or emotions am I trying to convey? How do I put words and sentences together? My style tends to be choppier. Like I tend to like have this more staccato way of talking. And then other people are just softer in their tones and they have a longer sentence cadence. And it's just different. And it's okay. You don't need to be somebody else. And that's another way to weave it into your messaging as a way for you to stand out more.
Okay, I love that because I think about the popular phrases that I hear and I'll find myself like starting to just like insert them just because, I don't know, Amy Porterfield will always say, my friend, or, you know, like, hey, friend. And I'm like, that's just nothing I would ever say. But it's what you're saying is it's so beyond just swiping a couple trendy words.
You know, like, I don't know if anybody is listening who follows Denise Duffield Thomas. She opens every email with, hey, gorgeous. I would never say that. Like, I'm never going to say that. It sounds ridiculous coming from me.
Yeah.
In fact, when I write emails, I made the decision not to use anybody's first name at all because I feel like when we're just like, like I don't say Emily, da 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 da, Emily, what do you, blah, 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 Emily. Like, I just don't feel like that's a realistic way to talk to people. And that's me, right? And that's part of brand voice. So the more you can give yourself permission to have your voice, it's a very hard thing to find out by, on your own. So, give yourself time and space to really think about. Again, I'll go back to the three things: the words you use, the emotions or tones you have behind them, and the way you put them together. Those are the three things you want to start to break apart for yourself.
Okay, what's the best way to analyze that and break it apart?
Well, you can certainly use ChatGPT to do it, especially if you've been training your AI or whatever your favorite AI robot is. It's probably come to know you a little bit. You know, like, I mean, I do this for people in a very specific linguistic analysis kind of way, but not everybody wants to do that. And there's plenty of stuff online that you can use AI for this. And I'm not like here to AI shame people. That's not it at all. If you've trained your AI and you've put a lot of your stuff in there already, it can kind of reflect back to you how you sound. Actually, my AI robot is named Maxine, and she said something about me being sassy. And I was like, I don't see myself as sassy, Maxine. I would like you to like argue your point. And then she did. And I actually agreed with her. I have trained her so well and put so much shit into her that she like can pull out what my brand voice is. So I do recommend people, I want to say this with a caveat, using AI is wonderful, but sometimes you are in the jar by yourself and you have this like complete echo chamber going on. And
sometimes you don't see your own voice and what you need to do to change it. Like my story with the underdog story, I never would have been able to see that without Justin pulling that out of me. He was my mentor for Brand Voice. And sometimes you're like, I don't know why this isn't working. And sometimes you do need somebody else to reflect it back to you. So just be aware that your voice might be your voice. You might need to tweak it for marketing. So I needed to tweak my underdog voice to be more of what I call it's a blended voice. Rather than being a teacher, I see myself now as the mom at the coffee shop. And this actually will lead us into the next piece really nicely. I'm sitting at a coffee shop. You can come over and sit next to me. I'm super open. I'm going to tell you the truth about things. And I also am always waving a little yellow flag. This is me going, just slow down. You don't have to do what everybody else says. You get to think about this first. You know, what do you want it to be? So I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what my experience is. So that's why I'm like mom at the coffee shop, because I'm relatable at the coffee shop. You can sit down with me, but I'm also going to tell you, like, I've been around this block a while and I have some shit to share with you. And so that's my personality that I show up with, which is obviously like my personality. And I can talk about that for a little while, but the brand voice is the first thing to start with, I would say, to differentiate yourself.
I don't know if you knew this, but I also worked with Justin a few years ago. Newer in my business, and you know, sales just wasn't taken off, right? I had him analyze. I got one of his first monster sessions.
Oh yeah.
And I was down here. It was a nice way of saying the downtrodden.
That was me. I was the downtrodden.
I was there too. And so we had to analyze, like, and I'm learning all of this for the first time. I'd never really done a copywriting course, stepping out in my own for the first time after being behind client businesses. So I'm like developing my voice on the fly. Right? Figuring out who am I? What are my values here? What do I have to say that's different? So what's interesting is we tried to pull it up into that other quadrant where I fit the most, which is where anti-establishment.
Oh yeah, that's very you. Absolutely.
A little bit with authority. So I like how you said mom in the coffee shop, because I know I think they also called it friend at the bar.
Friend at the bar. And I was like, I don't drink, so I'm going to be the mom at the coffee shop. So that's I made my personality work for me. Yeah.
I love that. No, that's so clever, because I'm like, who goes to a bar? I mean, that's not my life right now either.
I know.
Okay.
Well, what you're talking about with the quadrants is the linguistic analysis part, because it's all very chartable. I always like to say to people, like, God doesn't tell me your brand voice. I don't do it from my gut. I literally like chart it and plot it out, and then we work it out together. And when Justin very gently pointed out to me, he's like, you still sound like the downtrodden. You still sound like the underdog, which is not who I am at all. And I was conveying that nobody wants to hire the underdog.
No. And I guarantee you. And the reason why this is so fun to talk about is our people are doing it too. And for me, I'm trying to remember, I should go back and watch the recording, but it's so old. I would say things that are just different when I write. You know, I might not speak it. I wouldn't say it to a friend. But for some reason, I was a little bit more careful when I wrote and said things like, I think you should do this.
Yes.
You know, it's like almost like the little girl's voice. I'm not very confident in what I'm advising.
I call those chin hair words, and you should pluck them right out. Like, I think you should, or maybe if you want to, or have you considered, or if this feels good, like you can just pluck those out and have a more confident voice almost immediately.
Yeah. I think the other thing I've learned over the years with messaging too, is I did attract people, the wrong people. It was the wrong email list. It was a reason why people aren't buying. And so me just changing that voice, I could speak to higher intent buyers.
Yeah, who's the people who are ready? Marisa Corcoran calls those the Eeyores versus the Tiggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You often don't see it until somebody else reflects it back to you. Now, I want everybody listening to know, like, there's nothing wrong with your voice. My question about voice is it working in your marketing?
Yes.
And I'm not an anti-establishment voice. So what works for Emily would never work for me. And that's why we have different brand voices. And the way that her content sounds and the shit she shows up with, I might talk about the same stuff, but it's going to sound different. And again, that's a way to differentiate ourselves in the marketplace. And that's what we're talking about today. Like, when we get visible, how to differentiate ourselves without doing more.
Okay, so what's the next part of messaging?
Yeah.
Struggling to raise your rates because your clients' content creation is taking you forever? Clients pay more for strategy, but you're here drowning in the writing and the doing. When do you have time to think like a strategist? The digital marketers who are getting ahead are the ones who are using AI as their marketing superpower. That's where AI Copywriter in a Box changes everything. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. I use it in my business and with my clients, and it's helped me create high converting content in minutes without getting stuck in endless revisions. When you deliver faster, with better quality, you become the premium service provider clients cannot live without. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, just for being a listener, and you can use the AI copywriter for up to 4 clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes.
So this is the personality piece, which is right beautifully on the back end of voice. Now, the thing about voice and personality is it's not like a forward-facing thing. I don't go around saying, I'm the mom at the coffee shop waving the yellow flag. That is something that I have embedded into my soul so that when I'm writing or talking or even like being on a podcast like this, my whole vibe is I'm going to tell you the truth about things. I am not a gatekeeper. I know that people like need information and information is easy for them to find. So I'm like not holding back information from you. Nobody hires me for information, right? So that is my whole vibe when I get on a thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you to slow down. I'm going to wave the yellow flag and say, what do you need? How can we personalize this? So the personality kind of goes right on the back end of voice, which is, you know, how would you not only say it, but how does your brand show up with a certain vibe? It's like all day long we're doing this with like people in regular time. You go to a soccer game for your kids, you can like read people's vibes as they're even just sitting around you. And it's not like a judgment thing. It's just like, I'm never going to show up, for example, my brand personality would never be like, I'm going to show up with a full face of makeup and rocking a motorcycle jacket. Like, that is not my brand vibe at all. I don't have anything like anti-establishment or rebellious. Like, that's just not me. And I don't want to show up in my brand like that. I'm going to show up in my coastal grandmother, big wide pants with some comfy shoes and some kind of flowy top and probably have my hair in a bun because I didn't want to blow it out that day. Like, that's my vibe and that's the personality I want to convey. If you're looking for a messaging person who's much more edgy, I'm not your person, right? So I have to make sure the personality matches the voice and the vibe and the way that I am, all while not letting go of my personal life. And I think this is a problem that people started having in 2020 when they're like, oh, my brand personality needs to be that I'm always available and I bring you into the dressing room as I'm trying on a bathing suit. And today I'm going to the gynecologist and I'm going to take you in there too. Like, brand personality doesn't mean that you need to be exposed or vulnerable. And I'm putting air quotes around vulnerable for the sake of being quote unquote authentic. Like, you don't need to do anything in your marketing for the sake of your voice and the sake of your messaging that makes you feel unsafe or uncomfortable or like you're full of shit or you're acting. Because most people I know at this point, they don't want to adopt a persona that they cannot put the receipts behind, that they cannot live up to. I think that the first 5 years of this decade, people have gotten called out for that kind of stuff, right? And you don't need to sacrifice having your kids be on your social media, talking about your spouse or your partner. You don't need to talk about your health stuff if you don't want to. And I think that that has been something we need to unlearn now as part of our brand personality. Our persona gets to be, this is my brand persona. This isn't my whole self. And that is a part that people, I don't think, have been told to think about.
Well, there's this funny little gray area where I think we saw it a few years ago where people act more successful than they are, then become successful. And I know this from the service provider angle where we're walking that walk where we want to seem booked out and in demand.
Yes.
When we're not, how do we toe that line and still be authentic?
This is a great conversation. So you can be authentic, but it's not like your audience needs to know what's on your books. Your audience doesn't need to know how many clients you see every week or what kind of money you're pulling in. And in fact, we've seen a backlash of people who are using income-based marketing as their quote-unquote proof of success because they get called out on it all the time. And also, like, there's laws against it now. So you might not be fully booked out. That doesn't mean you're not successful. It doesn't mean you don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't mean you don't have a system in place. It doesn't mean that you don't have everything else cleaned up and are ready to go. Like, being successful does not necessarily mean you have two commas in your income stream, right? So embodying success and presenting how you want your brand to seem, that doesn't mean your audience gets a behind-the-scenes look of your spreadsheets too. Just like they don't get a behind-the-scenes look of your bedroom or what's going on with your child's mental health at this point. Like, they don't need that in order to trust you.
Yeah. I actually had a very vulnerable conversation with our friend Heather Sager, and I can't believe this came out of my mouth, but I said, this irritates me when I see this one person always bragging about money. Mm-hmm. And always looking more successful. And it just irritates me. And she was shocked. And she kind of gave me the friend slap to knock me out of it. And I don't usually go off in like whiny mode quite like that. And she's like, Emily, just because a pixie cut looks good on someone else doesn't mean it looks good on you. And I'm like, you're damn right. A pixie cut looks terrible on my long face. I could never pull it off. And it made me realize, like, I don't have to be like that. And some people, it's attracting her people, like whatever. Yes. It's like, I have to go do my own haircut that fits me.
Yeah. Sometimes our friend Sally, will send me a website of somebody and I'm just like, who is attracted to this? And you know what? It's like my dad says, there's an ass for every seat. And there is. So the people who are out there, like, I'm never attracted to a brand that's talking about like boss babe vibes or super glam or super luxury. Again, coastal grandmother here. In fact, curmudgeonly coastal grandmother. And I am here for it at 55. I'm not even a grandmother yet. But like, that's my vibe. So again, there's going to be people who are just like, she is like, she curses too much. She's too relaxed. She doesn't have her, like, she's not fancy. Like, there's an ass for every seat. And remember, your brand personality gets to represent who you are. Maybe a little bit of who you want to be too, but it also gets to keep private the parts of your brand persona that you don't want. You don't need to bring your audience into everything. And I think that's a mistake that people think, like, the only way to gain trust is to A, either give it all away with your IP and share all your IP, which P.S. it does not gain trust that way. And to, like, in a sense of trying to prove that you're smart enough, but also like this authenticity thing, like, let me bring you into the most vulnerable moments of my life. Like, if you're not really ready to share that and it doesn't serve your audience and they need to take care of you, you don't, it's not something you should be sharing with them. So this brand personality thing, again, is a very nuanced place. And I think it really starts with getting real with yourself in terms of permission. What do I want to give myself permission to not talk about anymore? What do I want to give myself permission to not share? Or what are the words that I would have used, say, when I was a therapist that I wouldn't use when I was a coach, and words that I might say to my best friend that I would never say to my audience? So how can we parse out those pieces of ourselves and just give ourselves some freaking permission? Because I promise you, if you just get quiet enough, you know the parts of yourself that you're giving away in your marketing that feel yucky.
Yeah. So you painted a very visual leather jacket personality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I saw it, but how do we show that in words? Like, what is our personality when it comes to words?
So for example, I love to make up words all the time. Like, I love to put words together that don't even go together. And I don't even know that I could give you something off the top of my, like, one of my favorite words that I say all the time is easeify. Easeify is not a verb, but I've made it a verb. We're going to easeify your messaging. But like, that's a Gen thing. Somebody else in messaging, I can think of somebody right now who's in messaging who's like, just like a completely different brand voice than me. She would never mess with the English language like that. Like, but I'm always messing with the English language, right? So that would be a way that your personality comes in. Also, the type of content you give away. Like I said, I'm the mom at the coffee shop with the yellow flag. So my content, my messaging pillars are all about like, let me tell you the truth about this thing. Let me unpack this for you. Let me get you to think about that. Let me let you let in a little insight into this stuff versus somebody else who's got very different messaging pillars, even though they also might be a messaging expert. Their messaging pillars might be completely different because their brand personality has different focuses.
Let's go back to the social media manager.
Okay.
And what would be a good example of her showing her personality? Like, what's something that she could bring to the table?
So I always say I'm not fun. Like, I'm not a fun person. Like, I'm a serious person. I take everything seriously. I can be snarky, but I'm like, not like, let's go do this fun thing. But say somebody in their whole thing is like, my brand personality is I'm the social media goddess. I love social media. I can eat it up every day. I consume it. I understand it. And I am here to make your social media life easy. I have my magic wand. I'm going to bring it in for you. You don't even have to care about social media because I'm going to do it for you. And I'm a social media goddess. Like, that's a very specific type of energy and personality and person that you might want to hire versus a different social media manager who's like, the success of social media is based in understanding your analytics. And so the way that I approach it is almost like I'm a scientist and I come in and I analyze your stats and I look at who your people are and we decide on how to post and your content and your strategy, all based on data and numbers. Like, those are completely two opposite sides of a social media manager personality. Like, those people are not the same person. And the way that they talk, the energy they bring, the content that they would talk about, the examples that they would use, you could see how they would be night and day. But somebody's going to be attracted to the scientific data one, and somebody else is going to be attracted to, yes, please be my social media goddess for me.
It's so funny. Can you think of any like obvious personalities in our space that like some of the, I don't know, maybe the gurus that we might pay attention to? Putting you on the
spot.
I'm
on social media anymore. Oh my God, I'm never on social media. I mean, I hate social media so much. So the only one I'm on LinkedIn is, I'm only on LinkedIn now.
Okay.
Oh God. This is like, this
what
is
about
like
any
the
of our friends. Like, I think about Sam Burmeister. Totally calling her up right now. Like, she's a nomad. So she's always traveling and like bringing that element. And she's a little, she's not made up. You know,
no, she's getting on with her tattoos and her tank tops. And she usually doesn't have a full face of makeup on. And she's just like, let me tell you about this stuff that you don't even understand about copy. Like, I'm just like a really super straight shooter versus another person in our, who's our friend, is Marisa, who's a copy expert. Also, she's not a copywriter like Samantha, but she teaches people all about copy in her Copy Confidence Society. And her whole thing is about like, again, owning your personality. She's a performer. She's like from, you know, she went to Harvard to get her acting degree. You know, she shows up and she's like, how can I say it? Like, when Marisa walks in the room, you're like, oh my God, Marisa's here, because she is such a presence, right? And she's always like, she has the outfit and she always looks different. She's got her outfit on and she's like got her Rent the Runway stuff. I mean, that's a very different personality. Actually, they both teach people how to create copy. Both of them do. They just both have very different vibes and personality and the ways that they present themselves and the way they, you know what's funny? I don't even know that the way they necessarily, when you get down to the nitty gritty of copy, they're probably teaching similar things, but different approaches and different like wrapping paper on the gift is how I would say
it. So where should we start with us to be able to find that in ourselves? Like, identity crisis.
I would say kind of goes back to, well, it's a really great question, because I think we get to this point, especially if we've been in the online world a long time, we've kind of been almost bubble wrapped by, you should do this, you should do this, and you should do this. And I took this course and I worked with this coach and this person is doing this. And I would say, I think it really starts with a shedding. And, you know, I'm joking around about my curmudgeonly coastal grandmother, but like, it took me a long time to get here, because when I started, I was looking at all the people who were like successful and I'm like, oh, I should do that. I should do this. I need to do that. I need to look more like this. And there's something that happens when you're in your 50s, like you just give zero Fs anymore, but you don't have to wait until you're in your 50s. So if you're listening to this, I say start with the unwrapping and the unlearning and just say like, I'm so tired from fill in the blank. And then like how can you remove just that little piece? Like, I would say, try not to overhaul your brand personality overnight, but like start the shedding, I would say. It's a good season for shedding.
Okay. I love that.
To get to the essence of like, who am I really? And I think that also you get to this place where you're like, I'm not trying to attract everybody. I am not right for everybody. I'm annoying to a lot of people, right? Like the questions that I want to ask and the way that I want to work. I only work with people really one-to-one at this point. And some people are like, can't you just give me an AI template? That's not for me. Like there's a million of them out there, right? And yeah. You don't have to be for everybody, and that's okay.
You know what really clicked for me? Because I've been going through all of this for the last 5 years of my business, yeah. Trying to figure out like, who am I? Where do I fit in this world? And there was a point in 2020. So after I had met with Justin, where somebody was like, you should do this. You should speak to military spouses and use words like bomb and deploy. And I just had this like gut reaction of like, like just vomit, right? Like this is not me.
Not
and it was so opposite. And it gave me the direction I needed to be like, actually, I want to talk to the woman who doesn't wear her husband's rank, who doesn't give a shit about the military because she's independent. She doesn't care what's going on over there. And she can still be a good spouse and know all the acronyms. But like, that's not the person I want to talk to. And it gave me the direction of, I don't know.
Oh, you do. Mm-hmm. If it's not her, then who? Okay, let me try on this next thing. If it's not her, then who? And you already said like you felt it in your body, but you did not give yourself permission. And I know that brand personality, if you're doing it by yourself, again, it's hard to see it for yourself, but it starts with the shedding.
Okay. Is there any other tips you have for figuring that out? Because that's where a lot of our people are. Like they're stepping out into their own messaging. They're figuring that out. They're trying to position themselves as an expert. What else should they do?
I would say, this is completely out of my realm of experience. So this is not any kind of pitch for anything, except it is hard work to shed the parts of yourself that have been holding you back, to admit that you've been holding on to them for so long, that in this journey, there can be a self beating up. There can be a sense of like, oh my God, I've wasted so much time. Oh my God, I've invested so much money. There's this false sense of like that, a waste, right? Time, money, energy. And that's not even what I want to do now, or that's not even who I am, or that's not how I want to represent myself. And there needs to be an immense amount of healing and self-forgiveness when you are doing that shedding. So one of the things that I recommend is either being in community with other people, having a healer, having a therapist, because the getting to the point where you're like honoring that full body dry heave that you had took you years to do. And if you have somebody to help you through it mentally, subconsciously, the learning curve is a lot shorter for you. I had a combination of having it, but also just like, it was so deep. It was like a lot of like, I always say it was like just these tendrils that were so deep, or these weeds that were so deep. And so it took me a lot longer than quote unquote it should have. But I don't think I knew all of the stuff that I'm sharing today. And if I had, I might have been able to name it and be like, oh, that's what the problem is. Like I will forever be grateful to Justin, who very gently said to me about the underdog that if I had not done that with him, I would never have known. That was the light switch that went on that helped me realize everything else.
Oh my gosh, me too. It's so funny. We have that same story.
Same exact story.
We've also like, it's so inspiring to hear from you as a fellow service provider, the iterations you've gone through. And it's okay to, I think about like my first webinar, my first emails I sent, starting with a template.
Yeah.
Yeah. And coming in and judging it up and making it me, putting in the Office Space memes when appropriate. You know, right. It's like, it's okay to have that starting ground and to keep moving forward your voice.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be kind to yourself along the way.
Oh, yes, you do. You do. And it's not something we always just figure out. I mean, I think about even what you worked with my client a few months ago. We've already evolved a little bit beyond that. Was like the starting point and it was the clarity we needed. And now we're like, actually, we're going to drill down further into here and then to here. And it's like, things are making so much sense. We're able to move a lot quicker than when we first started, which I know you remember that. But
and I love that because if you don't take that first step, you never get to that second step more quickly. It's like you just iterate faster and faster once you get your voice, your personality, and then the third thing is the positioning dialed in. Once you get that dialed in, you're like, oh, I see what wasn't working. I can shed that and lean more into this. Oh, this isn't really working anymore. I can dive more into this piece.
As we wrap this up, I just want to kind of hammer home one of the complaints I hear the most when I talk to our peer group about the support they have on their team. And I know AI is changing things, but they always say, doesn't sound like me. And I think I hear people burning through social media managers the most. I don't have any data to back that up, but this is like my gut feeling here. And so from the flip side, for us doing the marketing work, we're building the funnels, we're writing the emails, we're doing the social posts. We might not be the one to create the brand voice. Like, what can we say to get them on board so that they can see the ROI of this and we can do our jobs better?
Yeah. So I think calling it out as you may have noticed that in past social media managers that you've worked with, that one of your complaints is that they don't sound like you. And it's not that you necessarily have done anything wrong, that you haven't told them something. It's that this nuance of yourself has not been brought to light. And you can even like give them the language. This is the messaging part, right? You can give them the language of like, you're frustrated with this and you want it this way. And one of the things we need to do is dial into your voice, your personality, so we can position you to really sound like yourself. And that is something that they may not want to take the time to do. And they also will tell you something like, oh, just go look at my old stuff and learn from me there. Well, again, if you're looking at stuff from 2020, 2023, 2024, like they may have more nuance to their voice. They may have shown up in a way that like they aren't even like that anymore. So making people understand it's not something that like we can blow off. It's something that like we really have to sit with and talk about, like, okay, what words would you never use? That's a big one right there. Like, what words would you never use? And again, if your people are working with a service provider, they could even do that over Voxer. Tell me all the words you would never use. Tell me all the things you never want to sound like. Tell me people you don't want to be like, because then you have the thing of like, I know what my line is. The other thing about voice and personality is people will tell you like, well, I want my voice to be friendly and I want to be kind and I want to be helpful. And those are just like vanilla bullshit words that come with voice. Like that is not a real voice. Like that is like, sure, everybody wants to be kind. Everybody wants to be helpful. Like nobody's walking around going, oh, I want to be an asshole in my voice, right? Push back on, okay, well, if you want to be nice and kind, what's the opposite of that? Like, what are we pushing against here that, you know, like that's the opposite. So we know what to tell, like, no, ChatGPT, this doesn't sound like this person at all. She never wants to sound like that. And so it's a nuanced thing that people need to spend some time with. So if you have somebody who hires you and pushes back on it and tells you to go look at their old stuff, you need to push back on them and say, your old stuff doesn't cut it anymore.
A little feisty there, a little sassy there, Jen.
I told you, Maxine was right.
I had a client. Yeah, Maxine did good, right? I had a client who, back in the day before we really had transcription, because I'm an OG over here, I would listen to her Facebook Lives. I was doing this naturally. I didn't know what was a word for it. But I was always panicked when I had to write for her because I'm like, ah. But she would say words and then I would put in the copy and then she would turn around and say, I don't say that. I'm like, you say that. I say stinking cute. Like, that's not my verbiage. That's you. You leave off the G with a little apostrophe about that.
Mm.
It's a bit interesting. So I think I wish I would have had that rebuttal like in my pocket. A, going back and thinking about those videos now, like her messaging has evolved, you know, all of us have. So I like that because I think that's where we struggle as the client management side of being like, all right, you want A-level work. We need to have some A-level assets in place so we can produce this.
People wish their messaging was a one and done thing. So this is for the people listening, for your own messaging, but the people that you work with, it's for their messaging too. People will be like, oh, and you're even saying about our client, that was done 5 months ago or whatever it was, however many months ago it was, more. And he's already iterated his brand voice and probably the messaging too has gotten tighter, I'm going to guess, because the market has shifted or whatever. If people wish their messaging was a one and done thing, but it isn't, it's like brushing your teeth and taking a shower And I'm sorry to be the one to tell you, but it is a constantly iterating process. So if you're dealing with messaging that was done in even 2023 or 24, you are going to feel like you're never nailing it.
We could just turn around and hire you to do it for our clients. So
you could do that. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about, you have a positioning freebie for us, right?
Yeah, so positioning is the thing that I'm sorry this went so long, but the positioning is the thing we didn't really get to talk about, which is basically what's your USP, what sets you apart. And again, people are just too close to their own brilliance. They don't understand how to express all the zigzaggy moves they've made in the course of their entire professional life and how it has brought them to this moment to be uniquely positioned to deliver their brilliance. So I created a GPT that I would be happy to share with your audience. It basically is an interactive, how do I want to say, it like interviews you and it reflects back to you and it pulls some stuff out of your head and basically it gives you a document that will help you see your positioning in a way. It is a little too cheerleadery for my taste, but that's just sometimes how AI operates. It's like snorting coke from its own bag. But like, I'm like, you don't have to be so cheerleadery, but it is. And it basically takes people through this process that helps them see themselves more clearly so they can start to be like, let me give you an example. I have a client who is a divorce lawyer, became a divorce coach, and just through doing this process, it reflected back to her that she's actually a divorce strategist. And that just resonated so much more deeply with her and her clients. Like she's that person who's like in the center between people who are, you know, having a lawyer and a therapist and a financial person. Like she's the person in the center helping you navigate and the emotions. And she's a divorce strategist. And like that GPT helped her get there. I think that people should download it and use it and then start to be able to see themselves a little more clearly.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Thank you for creating that because we need that. We need help.
Everybody needs that, it.
That first step, especially to get out of that faceless first version.
Yes. I will give you guys a code and that will probably be in the show notes. It'll be at jenliddy.com/unicorn. And I will give you the code unicorn so that everybody can get it for free and just start downloading it and using it. Okay.
Perfect. All right. I know you're not really on social, but where can we connect with you? Where can we find you? Where could we send our clients to find you?
Okay. So you'll find me on LinkedIn, actually, which I just made the decision. I'm like, I hate Instagram. My Facebook account got hacked. I started LinkedIn and I just decided to make it more fun for myself. And I am actually having fun there. So I'm Jen Liddy. You'll find me there. You'll see, like, I'm the messaging person. My sister-in-law is there also. She's Jennifer Liddy. But you can figure out who I am because I'm the one talking about messaging.
You're the one in the coastal grandma outfit.
That's right. With the bun on top of my head.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Jen, this is so fun. We'll see you over on LinkedIn.
Thanks, Emily.
That's a wrap. We'll see you next week. I'm going to talk a little bit about the gig in Nashville, Amy Porterfield's event, my first paid speaking in-person event. I'm going to give you some other tips on how to pitch yourself as well. And please reach out to Jen. She's not on Instagram. She's over on LinkedIn and she has given us access to her positioning GPT. The link with the coupon code is going to be in the show notes. Go grab it. This is going to help you feel good about yourself and be able to pitch yourself even more coming up in the next show. And I do want to say over in the work group, we've had some speaking trainings in tandem. We just did a training with Kim Keel about writing our speaker bio. If you're a work group member listening, go do that exercise. It's 1 hour out of your day. You will have a killer speaker bio and Kim's going to kind of walk you through that positioning part of it. So you just feel really good and confident about yourself. There's just something magical that happens when you read a bio about yourself in third person. You're like, yes, I am a badass. I am doing big things. Look at all this I've accomplished. So work group members, go check that out. And if you're not a work group member, you're looking to attract high tier clients, then you need to get in there. What are you waiting for? Apply. Link is in the show notes. All right. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite. to help people like you who, how do I say that?